So this morning, we've had a lot on, haven't we? We actually have a lot on this month because Easter, in their wisdom, whoever does these calendars, Easter is so early this year, we had to get through a number of things. And so I want to talk to you this morning, without taking too much more time, is our story, our future. We have a... I can't see it. Oh, there we are. So this is our... Yes, our story, our future is our facilities offering for our church. We do this over about 3 weeks every year. And just as a quick mention, isn't it nice to have our own facility? Oh, I know Greg Moore's excited. Isn't it nice to have our own building that actually we can say is home? We're not in a lease facility. So I'm going to tell that story in a little while, but you will have on your seat a faith promise card. It's orange, and you may like to just have a look at that. But while I'm telling the story, it'd be better to look at me. But I just want to make you aware of the faith promise cards, and just so that we really, we raise approximately 80,000, 85,000, sometimes $100,000 every year above our tithes and offerings for our building fund. And it's nice to shoulder the burden together. This is a 12-month plan for our lives so that we can budget for it over that 12-month period. And so I want to share about why this is so important about building God's house this morning. And in order to do that, I thought I'd start just with you'll have to help me because it's not clicking, if that's okay, guys. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Can we just say this together? He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This year we're setting our heart and our spirit in him. It's a spiritual direction for us to grow in Christ. And when we accept his call, we become active for him. Growth occurs because we actually launch out into something of his activity in our lives. And so being in him is being involved in the growth and expansion of his church. And so I'm going to share with you today a story about tenacity and courage in respect to how C3 Fremantle came to be the owners of our current church facility. I'm going to demonstrate to you through this story that no matter what you are going through in life, who feels like they might be going through a few things right now? Don't put your hands up. That as you continue to be dogged, say the word dogged with me. When we're dogged in being in him, he always holds the trump card. And I'm not talking about Donald. Let's just leave that one right alone. American politics, my goodness. Anyway, hold on to Jesus no matter what. Hebrews says to lay aside every weight. Turn to your neighbor and say, lay aside every weight. And sin that so easily entangles your life. I hope you're still talking to your neighbours. Let us run. It's getting quieter again. With endurance, the race that God has set before us. And so, drag yourself into church if you have to. His house is a place you will find his life. It will build your faith. And his house is where his river starts. Everything flows from the altar of God. You cannot underestimate the house of God and its value for your life and the power of God working through your week. We used to have a dog as a family. It didn't last long. And I know there's some dog lovers here, so I will be careful. It was a young, stupid mutt, mongrel dog, which I, being the alpha male in my household, I was boss. I wasn't meant to be, but let's just say the children didn't do what they were supposed to do with this dog. I ended up taking it to a chicken farm where it chased chickens the rest of its days and is still enjoying life to my knowledge. But one of the things that it did, and I said it was pretty stupid, is that once it latched onto a piece of wood or a ball, it was almost impossible for me to get that dog to release it. And so I could have this dog, and the dog's going, right? Holding onto the stick, and so I just grabbed the stick and I go, woof, and the dog would not let go of the stick. And so there goes, the dog was called Milo. Milo would end up at the other end of the garden. It would kind of fall over, come back, sort of ears down and go, no, I don't think I want to do that again. And then it would put down the, but it wouldn't let go. You know, it's that kind of tenacity that gets us through. We've got to be dogged sometimes in Christ. See, the Apostle Paul, he was dogged. Much of what Paul wrote was written from prison. He was chained between two guards. And every 4 hours, those guards had to be changed, otherwise it was likely that Paul would convert them to Christ. Paul preached Christ, and his passion was building and establishing the church. Now, he's chained. He's not even able to go and do what the Lord's called him to do, but he's not allowing that to stop him. He's still dogged. It is estimated that Paul, amidst adversity and persecution, planted 20 churches and influenced thousands of people in his day and millions upon millions since. His tenacious faith and passion to build the church was remarkable. This is what Paul said in the Philippians, still in jail. I press on. Turn to your neighbor and say, press on. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Press on is to follow after. It is not to turn back. It is to follow after. It is to continue. It is to look forward. I press toward the goal, he says. Looking back is sure to end in going back. We know what happened to Lot's wife. Turn to your neighbor and say, keep looking forward, don't look back. And so our church has reached a milestone. And milestones need to be celebrated. In 1996, 20 years ago, Andrea and I planted our church with Charlie and Helen. They deserve a warm round of applause. And Dom and Deanne Sonique, wherever Dom is, I saw him somewhere. Now, we're going to celebrate this on the 20th of March. I'd love our whole church to be there and all our friends and family that have been along with us for this journey. And Dom's actually going to MC that morning. Well done, Dom. Thank you for agreeing to do that. Didn't really have a choice, but hey, thanks anyway. But seriously, we're celebrating 20 years on the 20th of March. We have much to celebrate now. And the first 5 years in particular were just fabulous. I have to say that now because we're about to plant Sheila and Jonathan into Wellard. Unfortunately, she's heard the true story, or part of it at least. But we had no musicians. Can you imagine church now without any musicians? Dom Sinek was an absolute superstar. For 5 years, he led us with backing CDs from Darlene Check. She used to sing, Dom used to mime, we used to sing along. That's 260. I haven't got time to say all this in the 20th, so I'm letting you in some secrets now. You know, that's 260 consecutive Sundays without a musician. Well, we had the odd one here and there for an event. And that was just normally one person called Dave. And I hope we've sent him an invite, actually. And then I can't tell too many stories at a time, but, you know, the tennis club, it was $1 million views, and we did have a church close and the people came to us, but then they left again. And we went from about 40 people down to about 10, maybe even less. And so we moved to another facility, which is the East Fremantle Footy Club at the time, and that was a maze, and there was still no people to speak of. We were still really just a small group. And I worked my own business during those first 7 years. I'm not sure why now. I was telling the Connect group this on Wednesday night. And because I was so exhausted, I had no time to build the church. And I'm thinking, but I had to keep my family together. I had to give them some food for the table. This is, you know, 20 years ago. We're talking the last first 7 years of that 20 years. And Jared, my son, actually got very sick because he was always eating something and he ate the paint off the floor in a rental we were living in, which was covered in chemicals because we bombed the place for cockroaches and all sorts of other things. It was just a house from hell. Anyway, 7 days in hospital wondering if he was actually going to get better. And so before I share one particular story that I'm going to share with you, I want to say this, that what it was that kept us going every Sunday and what it was that eventually gave us momentum and growth is the same thing, and it's being in Him. If you can put the same PowerPoint up again. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is before whatever else we have going on. I'm just letting that settle for a moment. He is in all things and He is over all things. So I would like to recognize some people this morning as I share this story before I actually really get into it. I would like to recognize my beautiful wife. It takes more than one person to achieve great things for Him and in Him. And there are many times she has held up my hands and encouraged me to keep going when it looked futile. And many times, as you know, she's a great, strong leader and has just really helped us build our church. I couldn't do it without you, darling. Now, in respect to this building, I can't mention everybody's names, and I know there's many of you that have been here almost from day one, and I'm going to do a corporate thing in a minute just to acknowledge you, but if it weren't for Andrea and Caroline Moore in setting up the childcare centre, this whole vision of our church would never have never would have happened. There was another lady, Yvonne, that's gone to Queensland now. I'm so grateful for you girls. Greg Moore was the one who fought every development angle he could. And it is Greg we have to thank for such a wonderfully designed facility today. And we love you. The original board who allowed the project to keep going against the odds. Newlands, Sneaks and the Moors. Incredible. Considering that we were just really running on empty most of the time. But God put something in our hearts. And here's the most important part. To every person who now calls this church their home, what an honour and privilege it is to lead and pastor you in your life. Andrea and I desire that you have your very best life. And we know that it is through belonging to his house that is ultimately going to reward you, and that you will obtain the best prize of all. And nothing can take that away from you. He is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. So let me share a brief story of our building story, how we obtained this facility. There's lots of details I'm not going to share this morning, just for the sake of time. About 9 years into our church, still having less people than the average-sized church in Australia, we decided to do something very bold. The truth is we had around 70 people committed to the church at that stage. Mark Stedman was one of those people. Great lady. And we decided to put an offer on this building advertised for $2.1 million at the time. We're not quite sure, but it was somewhere between $15,000 and $30,000 that we had in our building fund at the time. Certainly not enough to put a deposit on this building. In October 2004, not that long ago, is it? We offered the vendors $1.8 million, including a $75,000 deposit. Greg's really good at this stuff because I was quaking in my boots because we actually didn't have the $75,000. And I was new to this game of like dealing and wheeling, and I realised that Greg's really good at that. Like, anyway, the vendors wanted to settle the very next month because the building had been vacant for some time. For those of you who've been around Fremantle, it used to be a Coventry's spare parts place, but it was in disrepair, really. And the vendor said it wouldn't be a problem with council. So off that we went, and they wanted it the next month signed off. Several months went past, no council decision. And because the building, this whole building, including our childcare centre, for those of you new, we own this whole facility. Well, the bank owns some. I'll get to that in a minute. That's why we've got the. That's why we've got this. Because the building was 2,000 square metres and sat on 4,000 square metres of land, we decided the best and most profitable option was to use half the facility for church and half for childcare. The childcare business would provide a great business plan and help us with the banks so that we could actually support everything that we wanted to do as a church. So without the childcare, we couldn't go ahead with our plan. And we raised the money. We'd been talking about it as board members and leaders. And on one evening, we had faith promises similar to what you have here, although we needed the money within about 3 months on this occasion. It was an investor sort of strategy that we had without going into too many details. But on that night, we raised $446,000 from a very small group of people. Our church found another $100,000, and we went to our broker, and the broker said that, no problem, I can get you 80% LVR, loan variation ratio. And so we raised the money, and it was a great plan. However, before we got to the council again, the chairman of the planning committee came through the media slandering our proposal. And we were, quite frankly, we were stunned. And the mayor of Fremantle was a godly man. At the time, the mayor then, we've actually invited him to come to our 20th celebration with us. And he told us that we needed to respond to the media. And our proposal got caught up in the middle of council elections, and so it became quite a political, it was like the one that they wanted to throw around. The DAC, Development Approval Commission, heard our arguments and our claims of unfair justice through the chairman of the DAC, openly refusing our proposal. By a stroke of genius on the mayor's part, we managed to overturn a delegated refusal to a delegated approval. But here's the thing. Generally speaking, when you get through DAC, development approval, it's smooth sailing at the full council the following week. We went out of that meeting, and as everyone would, we celebrated. Our joy was short-lived. As the very next day, we are back in the papers, and this time we were the entire front page, toxic childcare. We were accused of trying to poison children by building a childcare centre on a supposed toxic waste dump. The children were going to die a slow and painful death because the fumes of the cars going past were so much worse than the other side of the road. The children were going to become deaf because of the noise from the traffic. Every lobbyist, activist, environmentalist, and Christian hater came out of the woodwork. We are due back at council the following week, and the mayor calls me, get as many of your people to that meeting as possible. So all of our 70 people, it's not a very big place, the council rooms, we packed the place. There was standing room only. And you could cut the air with a knife as the arguments unpacked themselves from all the various groups and minority groups. I won't mention any of the names. We were 5-7. We didn't win. 7-5. So it was four us and 7 against us. It's interesting that that night they had actually approved the church but not the childcare. But there was no way we could go ahead without the funding from the childcare. We needed the business so that we could actually get momentum to build the kingdom of God. And so we rang the mayor. What do you suggest we do now? I'm not sure he knew, to be honest, but anyway. He said, resubmit with environmental reports. And so we did. And those environmental reports cost us $50,000. And there's quite a story to those in himself. And then the vendors said, we'd like to keep $20,000 every month until they approve your proposal through council. And so as a board, we decided that wasn't a very smart idea. So now we have a really shaky proposal. We don't even know if we have an offer of acceptance on the table. And so we followed up with a broker and the banks. And he became a little bit cagey, I guess. And he said, let's meet. And he said the man that he was dealing had left the bank, and he was not having any joy with the new guys. And so from this point on, we began to do our own bank finance arrangements. And after approaching various banks, we came to the conclusion that we did not actually have enough money for the deposit on the building that we had an offer of acceptance and have just spent $50,000 on environmental reports. The question was at this point whether to keep going. And there are some things that you do have to kind of let go and go, but all of us, and now I guess myself in particular, I was kind of, and Andrew and I were just, God hasn't told us not to do this. We've got to just keep going with what he originally told us and set us out to do. That's always a good rule for your life. And so we decided that God has not got us this far to look back and return to where we had come from. There's many scriptures I could give you there. For sake of time, I'm just going to continue. And then we received some good news. The environmental reports, after 3 months' delay, were given the all clear. Thank you, Jesus. We've had a win. Running parallel with these events were some significant personal issues. I'm just going to share a couple, just briefly. Our own house we had been trying to sell had not, and Andrew and I were stretched financially, and we really wanted to use that money to help build the church. the profits from the sale. And I was quite ill. Helen will remember this too, Charlie, through the whole building ordeal, and I actually came close to getting admitted to hospital. My doctor prescribed me with a white powder which looked like cocaine. I can assure you it wasn't. It didn't give me a high at all. But it tasted disgusting. And he was just trying to keep my insides just settled. It would be true to say, too, that we had multiple demonic attacks during this period of time. Andrew and I have had many, many sleepless nights. And I talked quickly with the main team and said, if we don't get through council this time, that we would, in fact, lay it all down. So we'd given it into God's hands completely. And we had the option of the appeals tribunal, but we didn't feel that was the right thing to do. I call it now our Red Sea moment. Do or die trying. We managed to re-sign an offer with the vendors a couple of days before the final council meeting, scheduled for, this is 22nd of June, 2005. They agreed to $1.75 million this time because we'd paid $50,000 for the environmental reports. Thank you, Jesus. And within the last week, we lobbied the new council and asked the community groups who support us to do likewise. This is where Port Care came into its own. Who knows that Charlie knows everyone? And it was so good hearing all the good news after such a deflating near 12 months. The council meeting came. We had some nervous moments, but we won 11 votes to 2. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Everyone from church who attended that meeting was celebrating. However, I nonchalantly leaned over to John Finkeldy, the person who was his fault, he planted us out in the first place. He attended all our meetings. He was fantastic. He was always praying for us. So everyone's celebrating. Everyone's thinking we're going to have our own building. And I looked at John and I said, all we need now is a bank to take on our finance. And the look on his face was absolutely spectacular. What do you mean? Inside I was feeling particularly queasy again. And all I could do was Lord. And I want to tell you, church, he is Lord. And yes, we did need a bank loan rather fast. Keep fighting the devil. Never give up what God has placed in you through being in him. Keep fighting for your kids. Keep fighting for your marriage. Keep fighting for the truth. Keep fighting for love, joy, peace, and hope. Keep fighting for your faith. It may not seem it at times, but he is moving behind the scenes in the most amazing ways. Press on, never look back. Your hope and future are forward with him. And the Apostle Paul said to the Philippians, who had not seen them for some time due to his incarceration, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. And so I say to you today, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Would you like to know how our building story concluded? Andrea collected our kids from primary school in Fremantle one afternoon, a few days after the council meeting. She happened to bump into a mum whose husband was a local bank man. Within an hour, the ANZ in Fremantle were talking business with us, and we had a verbal approval within days. The building settled August 3, 2005. We are the proud owners of 230 and 232 Hampton Road, South Fremantle. Come on. We have no doubt that when we are in Him, we can keep going through difficult times. Doesn't mean it's not going to be difficult or almost kill us, but we can still keep going in Him. And for those of you who are struggling in any part of your life, just keep giving it to Him. Amen. And like Paul, I would like to say today, you are worth the fight, every single one of you. Yeah. And hearing now your stories of victory through Him is worth more than money and possessions. I have no doubt that as we hold on to Him, things will eventually turn around in our lives. I have no doubt that things are going to accelerate in our future as our church expands into Wellard. And so I want us to determine together today to remain in Him and serve His purpose. We take ground from the enemy when we own land and buildings. There is no doubt. No doubt. I could tell you some other stories where that hasn't happened. And I am just so grateful that I was dogged about this from the beginning and we've got great people supporting us. And so our story, our future, if you just take it in your hand, even if you filled it in, please. I want to give you time to fill this brochure in this morning, and next week we're going to do the same. And then it's our birthday. Our story, our future, 2016. Our building is valued now at approximately $5 million. Our original debt was $3.6 million. It is now $1.99 million. Come on, that's worth rejoicing about. People have asked me, what would I do differently? And the answer is not much. See, Andrew and I guess, and our church has this on it, no doubt. Tenacity is a character trait that has kept us in Him all these 20 years. As it has others here today, I know. And the word tenacity means doggedness. To grip something firmly, persistence and determination, fixity of purpose, you know what I'm saying? Bulldog spirit. Don't allow people or problems to keep you from being in Him. Recognize that in Him, the victory will come. Sometimes it's not what we expect, but hold on tight in Him just the same. Andrew and I have never regretted the sacrifices, the money given, the struggles incurred, because at the end of the day, it is His house that satisfies. By the way, our house, our personal home, did eventually sell, and that is another story of God setting up a miracle for us. Let me start concluding this morning, and I want to give you a few minutes to fill in the card if you haven't already. Psalm 23, verse 6, I believe we have the slide. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The great things that have happened. What a joy. Port Care alone has 25,000 people. We're meeting needs every day in the community. Our high school ministry and primary school ministry, Shine Strength programs, we've got a lot to be grateful for Port Care. Our childcare centre has on sold now. We were able to pay back some of the investors and debt that we had because we were able to on-sell it and get our girls back to focus on building the church. Fremantle has grown to likely what is its optimum size. It's healthy and it's strong. And so C3 Wellard Campus is starting on April 3. We are reaching into a number of nations around our world, having planted 4 churches in Liberia, another one on the way in Ghana. I spoke to the pastor just the other day in Ghana. In Southeast Asia, there's such good news. Philippines in our recent visit. In fact, because of our church is still here, it looks like another 6 churches are going to join C3 Church in the Philippines. We've already baptized. We're not Baptist. Well, we are Baptists, I guess. But we're already baptized 15 people this year. There's more coming, I'm hearing. Heaps of our kids gave their lives to Christ at the youth camp just last night. And very importantly, we do now have a full music team. Come on! Actually, doesn't look like it, does it? Just give me a few minutes before we collect these faith promise cards. Faith is not a destination or an experience. You may have experiences which help you, but ultimately, faith is a journey. There is a presence in our church that I now know is because we have stayed in Him. Our story, our future, is a story of standing fast in Christ, being dogged for Him no matter what comes against you in your life. It is the ongoing story of His people at Fremantle and Wellard committing themselves to build His church and rely on Him above all else, watching the miracles unfold in their lives. The power of His house. In Him, you are comfortable in who you are. In Him, you don't need to compare with anybody else. In Him, you are content. In Him, you have joy. In Him, you are secure. In Him, you cannot be extinguished, robbed, overturned, rivaled, or surpassed. He is supreme. C3 Fremantle, to my knowledge, is still the only Pentecostal church in the city of Fremantle who owns its own facility. And watching many of our children grow up in His house, now adults, serving Him passionately is such a joy. But then there is you. You are having your best life by remaining in His house, serving Him all the days. And so this faith promise card of our story, our future, and if you need more time, please feel free to take it home. Pray about it with your spouse. Pray about it as a single person. Our story, our future is about continuing to build His house and His name throughout the earth. That's why we're doing Wellard. That's why I'm leading us into new ground, because I'm looking forward to hearing of the great stories that come from a brand new suburb. And because we have our own facility here, it puts us in great shape with the equity from this building too, that in the future we can have C3 Wellard and own another property as well. Never underestimate what God can do because of the seed faith that we continually just, every week or in our budget, we're just constantly, we're putting God first because His house is the most important thing in our lives. It's an offering designed for the progress of His church. It remembers the battles and looks forward to a bright future. It is an offering for maintaining our facility. Who's enjoying our new paint job already? Who hasn't even noticed? Don't put your hand up. Who's noticed we've actually got a screen in the middle now? Okay, I'm being so. Yeah. It's an offering to reduce our debt. The more debt we pay off, I know this sounds really boring to a lot of people, but the less debt, the more we can launch into new things. It's an offering for making His house great in all the world. It's a strategy that keeps His house a priority in our lives. I just want to take 2 minutes. If you need to fill in the card, I'm just going to just allow that to happen. And then we're going to ask the ushers to come. I understand that some people have already given them. I also understand that some of you may like to take them home and think about it some more. Andrew and I would say, through every struggle and everything that's ever happened, we cannot outdo our God. He's amazing. And we do that because we're a part of building the future through His house. Jesus Christ is head of the church. So Father, today, I pray that You would launch us forward. And that as we continue to build Your church and make no excuses for who we are dogged in Him. We love You, Lord. And we thank You for this opportunity to be a part of building Your church and Your future alongside one another. The people of God said, amen. Let's take up our faith promises, please.